IMDb has rated the greatest horror films of all time. I'm not going to give you the whole list because it's a long list. We'll just do the top 15. But this is the top 15 horror films according to the IMDb ratings of 7.9 out of 10 and higher. Because 7.9 in IMDb world is really good. Like, nobody gets anything that high. It's also based on 25,000 viewer reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the number 15 film. Now, I'm just warning you right now, oddly enough, a lot of these films are older films. It's not like it's, you know, there's not a lot of current stuff on here. There's some, but interesting. Number 15 on the list is from 1968. It's George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, which has 7.9 stars. This is the movie about a group of people in Pennsylvania who are seeking safety in an old farmhouse. And then suddenly, you know, all these zombies come out of nowhere and they ravage them.
There's now, a new TV show out now, George Romero, Day of the Dead, or whatever it's called. And it's a TV show on sci-fi. It's actually really good.
Is it Dawn of the Dead?
Dawn of the Dead. There you go. So, okay. It's kind of like The Walking Dead, but I think better. In this one, they actually call zombies zombies.
What do you mean? As opposed to what?
Walkers. That's what I hated about The Walking Dead and all the other movies like World War Z and all that. They would call them something else. No, they're zombies.
Right.
And this one, if a zombie bites you, you don't turn into a zombie.
You die.
No, you have to die before you become a zombie. So just because a zombie bites you doesn't mean you're going to turn into a zombie because you haven't died yet. I think it's brilliant.
So if a zombie bites you, what happens to you?
I mean, you can still keep living and make sure the blood doesn't kill you or whatever. It doesn't fall out of your body, but you don't instantly turn into a zombie like The Walking Dead. The minute the zombie bites you, you're going to die.
I was thinking about The Walking Dead just the other day. Like, the thing that I really hated about it is the... So if one person gets bit by a zombie and they're going to turn into a zombie, it happens immediately, unless it's like Carl. Like, Carl took, like, an entire episode to die. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so it's like some of them took, like, days to die, and others died within minutes. You know, they turned within, like, minutes. It's like, you know, it has to be one or the other. It can't be different for everybody. That's just not how it works.
Yeah, and this one... The zombies actually run, which I never understood why zombies can't run. Why can't zombies run? This one, zombies run. You can cut off a zombie's head, the zombie will still be coming after you.
I love that.
Yeah, everything that was wrong about The Walking Dead is right with this show.
Okay, that's good. I'll try it. What's interesting about Night of the Living Dead is it's a black and white film. It was made for under $150,000, so they had to do everything on the cheap. And since the film was in black and white, it was expensive to get, like, fake blood, so they used chocolate syrup because it was black and white. It looks like blood on camera. You don't know the difference. Yeah, so everybody had chocolate syrup all over them. Like, it was funny. It was, like, really sticky and gross, and everybody had a shower later. It was just pretty gross. Funny enough, number 14 on the list is 1978's Dawn of the Dead.
There you go.
Yeah, another George Romero. Now, the movie version... is zombies, again, happens in Philadelphia. A SWAT team is there. There's a traffic reporter, his television executive girlfriend. They all seek protection in a shopping mall. Is that what happens on the TV series version?
No, they're just everywhere.
Okay.
They're like squirrels. They're everywhere.
Okay.
And it happens in a funeral home, and then the where you put the dead bodies in the drawers and stuff. Then they wake up and they start shaking. It's pretty cool.
Ooh, okay. All right, I'll check that out. Number 13, Shaun of the Dead. That's Edgar Wright. He won awards for his 2017 film, Baby Driver. And this is the one that Simon Pegg was in. Remember, they did like a whole bunch of movies.
Simon Pegg movies.
Yeah, a whole bunch of... So, this one is really, really good. I love this one, the Edgar Wright one. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. Forget about the fact that it's a horror film. This is probably one of my favorite films ever. Let the Right One In. It's from 2008. This is number 12 on the list of the best horror films of all time. This is the Swedish horror film based on a novel of the same name, where a 12-year-old boy who is bullied falls for this weird girl who turns out to be a vampire, and she helps him get revenge.
Nice.
But it's like a love story as well, and because it's Swedish, it's like it's got that like odd feel to it, but it's really cool. Yeah, that's
you like you like vampires.
I prefer a vampire to a zombie. If I'm being honest.
And I like the zombie more than the vampire.
Yeah, not me. I like a vampire. Rosemary's Baby, 1968, written and directed by Roman Polanski, and Rosemary, played by Mia Farrow. This pregnant woman believes that her elder neighbors are a part of a satanic cult and are grooming her to use her baby in the ritual. I hated that movie. I'm sorry.
I could never
people
get
love
into it. I started it maybe three or four times. I could just never get past the first half an hour. I'm like, I'm bored.
Yeah, well, that's number 11 on this list. Boring. Also, The Exorcist is number 10 on the list. 8 out of 10 stars. I know that this was supposed to be like an iconic movie, but I feel like at this point, we all know all the scenes, and it seems very... It's like a parody. It doesn't feel like... It's not frightening anymore. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going back and watching it, but when I did watch it, it was kind of scary. And right. Linda Blair is a complete bitch. So we have that in the back of our head. Just personally, we know her, and she's not a nice person at all. So I think that weighs the movie part of you more than you know.
Right. So we had done an interview with Linda Blair where they were, I guess it was the whatever, you know, 25th anniversary or whatever it was of Exorcist, and she was out there promoting it. She was so awful, and thank God we did a pre-interview with her. Like we did a pre-tape with her, so it wasn't live. This is when we were doing our syndicated show, our live syndicated show, but we pre-taped the interview with her. She was so nasty and it was so bad that we chose not to air it, but yet we threatened the audience every time if we did a caller topic and they didn't call in, we would go Linda Blair or Dead Air.
Yep. We're gonna
that
play
was our
it.
Big threat.
I have it queued up. We could play it at any time.
Yeah. Either we're gonna sit here and not talk, or we're gonna play Linda Blair for you, but you're really gonna hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she was pretty awful.
I should dig that up.
You should. It might be time to play Linda Blair and not Dead Air.
I found the Louis C.K. interview last night.
Oh, why don't we play that?
Yeah. We might do that tonight after this. So if you're you could hear that.
I'd like for us to do the Louis C.K. interview while we are on the air so we can talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I'd like to do that. Yeah, I think you should dig it up. Okay, so this is interesting. This is number 9 on the list. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Don't know that.
I don't know this one either, but I got to tell you, it sounds great. 8.1 out of 10 stars. Listen to this. It's a silent German horror film about a deranged hypnotist who exploits somebody with a sleep disorder to get them to murder people.
Nice.
That sounds awesome. And the fact that it's 1920, you know it's already creepy.
Is it a talkie, though? Or is it
one of
those?
No, it's a silent... I said it's a silent German horror film.
I can't deal with silent movies.
That's why it's going to be really creepy. I'm telling you, that's a really... I'm going to try to dig that one up and see if I can... The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, it's called. Mm-hmm. 1920. I'm going to try and find that. This is one of my boyfriend's favorites. I don't like this movie that much. Diabolique, 1955, a French psychological horror film, horror thriller, about a woman and her husband's lover who plot to murder a man. However, when the crime is completed, the body vanishes and a series of weird events transpire.
Don't know that one.
I don't know. My boyfriend loves it. He says it's one of his favorites.
Mm.
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane from 1962 is number 7.
Mm. These are a lot of old movies.
I know. This is Betty Davis and Joan Crawford, very famous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In an antique Hollywood home, an aged former child star terrorizes her paraplegic sister, also a former movie star.
Hmm.
So that's kind of a famous movie. The Thing from 1982, not the first one. The 1982 version. It's John Carpenter who did all the Halloween movies. This is 8.1 out of 10 stars.
It's one where the alien comes out and thing and whatever.
Yes. This is about a team conducting research in Antarctica.
Yep.
And there's a shape-shifting alien that begins to assume the appearance of their victims. So it kills the person, then it looks like the person. And it stars Kurt Russell.
Right. I went back and tried to watch that. It didn't stand up.
Oh, it doesn't stand up.
Doesn't stand up.
Okay. Here's a more modern movie I never heard of. This one's called The Blue Elephant. It's number 5 on the list of the greatest horror films of all time, according to IMDb ratings. This is fellow viewers who are rating this. People loved The Blue Elephant from 2014. It's an Egyptian drama horror mystery set in Cairo about a doctor who, after 5 years of seclusion, comes back to work at a psychiatric hospital where he's in charge of assessing the mental health of the criminally insane, only to discover that one of his friends is one of the patients, and as he tries to help his friend, his life falls apart.
What does that have to do with an elephant?
The Blue Elephant. Yeah. I don't know. I guess you got to watch it to find out why.
But if there's no elephant in it, I'm going to be mad.
Number 4 on the list of one of the greatest horror films of all time, according to your fellow viewers, is a movie called Tumbad. It's from 2018. It's a Hindi language mythological period film about a goddess responsible for creating the universe, and I guess she gets mad at people and smites them and stuff like that. But that's okay. Number 3 on the list is Alien from 1979. 8.4 out of 10 stars. That's Ridley Scott, starring Sigourney Weaver, Yaphet Kotto, Harry Dean Stanton, Ian Holm. You know this one. This is, you know, pretty famous. But here's something interesting you might not know about Alien. And I know this as a... Okay, so I am a one-issue rock fan. I like rock music, but I love The Who. The Who is my one... That's my one band that I have all their albums. I know everything about them. I know the history. I know the songs. You cannot stump me when it comes to The Who. The blue laser lights that were used in the alien ship's egg chamber were borrowed from The Who because the band was testing out the lasers for a stage show in the soundstage next door, and Ridley Scott walked over to see it and was like, hang on a minute, I can use those blue lasers. So The Who was like, have at it.
Nice.
Interesting,
Who's lasers.
Right?
Did not know that.
What do you think number 2 and number 1 are?
Poltergeist and Amityville Horror.
Try again.
Amityville Horror and Poltergeist.
Neither one of those.
Conjuring.
I wish. I love The Conjuring.
Halloween.
I'll give you a hint. I know. I love Halloween. No, number 2 is a movie from 1960, and number 1 is a movie from 1980. Does that help?
60 would be, I have no idea. And 1980, I would say Caddyshack.
I'll give you a hint about the 1960 movie, Alfred Hitchcock.
Psycho.
That's right.
I went to Orlando. This is back in, I think, the early 90s. And I was eating at a restaurant, and you could see Universal Studio from where we were eating. And it was a thunderstorm. And I remember I looked over to the right, and this crack of lightning hit, and there was the Psycho House. And I went, I'm freaking going there tomorrow. I don't care how much it costs to get in, because we went to go to Disney World. We had no idea to go to Universal. Really didn't know about Universal. But I saw that freaking house, and I went, I have to go there.
Number 1, I'll give you a hint. So I told you 1980. Let me also give you the hint of Stephen King.
Oh, is it Cujo?
No.
Christine.
You think Cujo is one of the greatest horror? No, I'll try. Okay, so Stephen
King. Cemetery.
Stephen King wrote it. Stanley Kubrick directed it.
Oh, The Shining.
That's right, The Shining. Jack Nicholson. About a writer and recovering alcoholic who becomes an off-season caretaker of an isolated historic hotel with his wife and son Danny, who ends up having The Shining, which are psychic abilities to see horrors that went down in the hotel. So
Amityville was better.
This is about rating. So The Shining, think about this. It has 8.5 out of 10 stars. That is the highest rating any horror film has on IMDb. Nothing's higher. Like, that's how stingy people are with stars on IMDb.
The problem with The Shining, I think, they could have cut out an hour of that movie and it would have been perfect. They didn't edit that movie enough. It was just too long.
Jack Nicholson talks about that movie all the time because people always ask about it. And he says that Shelley Duvall did the greatest work of her career, that she, and even she was like, there were moments that she was really genuinely scared and she didn't realize that she had it in her to bring forth what she brought forth. Like she even says that it was one of the greatest roles that she ever played. But what's interesting is there was a lot of dialogue that Jack Nicholson added. So that accounts for why there's so much, you know, extra, because there are moments where it just says, you know, for example, like, you know, Jack's character, he's, you know, stands in amazement. And that's the one where he had the ball and he was playing with the ball. He came up with that himself. Like, he just felt like the guy would be doing stuff. And I didn't know this, but Jack Nicholson used to be something like a carpenter or a woodsman or somebody who used an axe for some reason. So the scene where he goes through the door, they had originally just put like light balsa wood because they figured he would just like knock through it. But he used to do that for a living, and he was more powerful and really angry in the moment, that when he was going through the door, you know, here's Johnny, like that thing. They actually had to get a really hard to cut through door, because when he first did it, he came like falling out of it because it was like paper.
Like the Kool-Aid man,
like, you know, oh yeah. So there's some really interesting trivia about it that now when you look back, and then there's little things like fuck ups that happen. There's a scene where like a lot of shit's going down, but you could see the boom guy in the mirror. You could see him standing there with the microphone, like
I didn't cut that part out.
Yeah, is it lunchtime yet?